Good evening and welcome back. My name is Chris. I am your host. Joining me tonight are Dan.
Good evening.
Tiff.
Hi.
Dean.
I'd like to be referred to as Benedict Cumberbatch.
No.
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 You could be Benedict Cumberbest.
Yes. That. I want to be called that. That's my full name. That's DJ Vestlord's real name. We're just creating fucking canon now. Oh, I love it. I'm happy.
Retconning.
Oh, this is good. Okay, I'm
good
happy.
Good work, everyone.
I don't even think we need a show tonight.
We came up with my backstory just on the podcast. It's great. I like it.
Speaking of the podcast, tonight's show is all about the games we played in May. We've got witches, we've got wolves, we've got shovels, and we've got pills. Just what in the heck am I talking about? Find out now. This is the Stone Age Gamer. Hello again, everyone. This is episode 51 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast. We're just 1 week away from completing 1 year's worth of weekly podcasts, which is somewhere between awesome and frightening. Anyway, we've got a full night planned, and we're going to jump right into things because I have to be up very early. In case you haven't been following us, I'm competing in the qualifying round of the Nintendo World Championships tomorrow, and that means lots of driving for me in the wee hours of the morning. No pun intended with the Wii Nintendo. Ha! But more on that in a bit. We're talking about the games we played in the month of May, so let's start things off with Tiff. What did
Yay!
You spend time playing this month?
I have been playing Telltale's Wolf Among Us, which is the game, in air quotes, based off of the Fables comic book. Fables is one of my very favorite comic books of all time, so when this one popped up on sale on the PlayStation Store, we snagged it, and I am of two minds, I feel.
Is this game, just, is it episodic?
Yes.
I've never played it, and I keep seeing ads for things, so.
Yes, it is fully a Telltale game. You interact with people, you make decisions based on whatever you want to base it on if you're going to be nice to people, if you're going to be mean to people. Sometimes the decisions are as big as there's two bad guys and which one are you going to go get? Or which person are you going to save first? And depending on the choices you make, the game adjusts accordingly. And what's kind of cool about that is Telltale keeps stats on these things. So every time you end a chapter, it'll pull up all of the major decisions that you made and show you how many people also made that decision. So if you decided to go to Toad's house before you went to Prince Lawrence's house, it'll tell you 69% of the people went to Toad's house first. So
wait,
it's really
wait,
nice.
Wait. There's Toad houses in this game?
Like, yes.
Like Super Mario Brothers 3?
No. Original Toad. As in Wind of the Willows, Mr. Toad.
Oh! Okay.
I just want Toad to be in Fables, to be honest. That'd be great. Can
I
told,
I
too?
Totally think that there should be a Fables-style Nintendo Universe
totally.
Thing. But that's...
See what you did there. You know what? 51 weeks in, the jokes aren't getting any fucking better than that. Christ almighty.
I'm glad we hit our peak right before the year's over. We're good. We're good.
Okay, so you can get a P-Wing from the Toad houses. Go on.
You, as the big bad wolf, can then fly through the levels.
Infinitely.
Anyway, so yes, it is episodic. There are QuickTime events. I'm finding the QuickTime events in this one to be much more intuitive than they have been in some of the other Telltale and Telltale.
Telltale.
I can't say that, so I'm going to say Telltale.
TT.
Anyway, I'm finding them to be more intuitive and more fluid in some of the other games like this. It's much more... I feel like the sequence of the QuickTime events flows more naturally as opposed to I just had to be doing this over here and now I have to switch to this thing over here and now it's really awkward and weird. They really kind of control well, which is good for me because QuickTime events generally lead to massive amounts of panic on my part, as we discussed in the Sherlock game. And Back to the Future, because I get into the flow of the story and I'm really enjoying the story and this is great and oh my god, now I have to do things and I panic. But I'm having much more success with these QuickTime events than I ever have before in these types of games. I initially was really trepidatious because as the story starts and as they start going through it, it is not anything like the comics. The story, I guess I should say, is not anything like the comics. And you start off with Bigby and Snow, and I don't know if anybody's read the comics, but they have very distinctive personality types. And I didn't feel that they had kept some of those personality types. So I was starting to get a little cranky about that initially. And then it occurred to me that this actually, it's not a retelling of the comic books. It's actually a prequel to the stories in the comic books. So that makes a lot more sense as to why the characters aren't quite what they are in the books, because certain events haven't happened to them yet and they haven't really become those people yet.
So this does actually legit tie into
the
comic books.
Yes.
It is, as Dean said, canon.
Yes. Primarily what I'm speaking to, the most obvious thing is the relationship between Bigby and Snow is not at all the relationship between Bigby and Snow when the comic books open. But I'm assuming through the course of these episodes, we're going to find out why the relationship between Bigby and Snow is what it is when the comics start. So once I kind of realized that, now I'm really loving it. It's a little jarring at first because the artwork is damn near identical to the books. It is a very stylized comic book artwork.
It's so great.
It's beautiful. It's stunning. If you take a still image of any part of it, it's gorgeous. But it is a little jarring at the beginning because it is so comic book. They also move very lifelike. Like, there was definitely some motion capture going on, and they have very human-like movements, which is strange coming from, like, the thick black lines and the high-contrast coloring.
May I interject something?
Of course.
Do any of you guys remember, they did this about 10 years ago, I think Marvel and DC and Image all did it, but they were trying to push it, the motion comics.
I was just gonna say, yeah. I saw some of the Astonishing X-Men one, because Astonishing X-Men is amazing.
It really, really is. And I think we were all, like, working at video game stores at the time when those were coming out. And they were terrible, right? Like,
yeah,
for the
much.
Time, for the time, they were kind of a cool thing. But they really moved like papercraft characters.
Right.
And they moved very, like things were on hinges. It was very weird watching these motion comic things.
Yeah, because they weren't quite animation. They were like,
right.
They were somewhere between a comic book and a cartoon. And it was like, what's the point of this?
Yeah,
it's Funimation.
Sure. Wait, no, isn't Funimation the people that make Dragon Ball?
Funimation, Toei Animation, Fuji TV, and Akira Toriyama. Please support the official release.
Jeez, you're such a nerd. Okay. Anyway.
I've been watching a lot of Dragon Ball Z Abridged, and they say that in the beginning of every single episode.
That's funny. Well,
thanks for just getting our back there illegally, Chris.
Hey, no doubt.
Anyway, this game is very much the kind of natural extension of what that would be if they were to do it on purpose, as opposed to just animating images that were already there.
Now, what the picture that's kind of coming into my mind, where I haven't seen this game in motion. I've only seen still images of it, but I'm imagining something that kind of looks almost like flashback, like rotoscoping almost. Is that kind of akin to what you're talking about? Or?
No. And that's what's so bizarre about this, because it is a perfect reproduction of the comic book image, but they move as if they were human actors. They move as if it was a hyper-realistic CGI. So there is no jerking, there is no unnatural movement or, like, sliding of characters across a background or anything like that. It is very realistic, the animation.
Well, that's kind of what I mean by the rotoscoping. Like, you've seen flashback, right?
Yeah, and, like, the stuff that MTV used to do, where they actually draw the cartoon over the video image. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, kind of. I guess more in a video game sense, that it's like, it looks like a video game character, like an old school video game character, but the animation is hyper realistic because
this is
real movement.
This is closer to, like, a step above cell shading, almost.
It takes it
a notch further.
Yeah. I would absolutely agree with that.
Very interesting.
But it is a little jarring at first because these characters and these images don't look like they should be able to move like that. And there's a couple of spots where they seem to have used maybe like a stock skin for certain things. Like a few of the characters' eyes look like real human eyes, and some of them have actual human-looking teeth, which is weird to see like photo teeth sticking out of a comic book picture. It's like, there's just a couple things like that that is very kind of like it just took me out of it for a little bit of like, oh, this is just really weird to look at. But once you get past that and kind of, you know, just go along with it, I am really enjoying it. I am finding that in a lot of games like this, it can sometimes feel like, okay, you put a decision part here because we haven't had one in a while, but we're going to end up with the same outcome kind of regardless. We might just have different dialogue to get there. But in this one, I really feel like I am affecting the story. And there have been a couple of times where I'm like, oh, no, man, can I change it? Can I go back and I change it? Because something really terrible happens because of something specific that I did.
That's one of the most impressive things about these Telltale games. Like, they really... The Jurassic Park one's okay. The Back to the Future one's okay. The Walking Dead killed it. Like, they figured it out at that point.
Yeah, and, I just don't and like now, The Walking Dead.
Well, no, sure. But now these games have become so incredibly replayable.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you see, like you said, that choice thing at the end when you're like, well, I made the choice that only 4% of the population made. Why the fuck
person?
Did I do that? Let me go back and play this again. And let me see what happens when I make the more popular choice.
Right. And
it's a really interesting kind of mental influence that those numbers put on you just by seeing them of like, I either went with the crowd or I didn't go with the crowd or I wonder what happens when I do something different.
Well, that's the thing is when it tells you the stats at the end, it doesn't just necessarily say your choice was to go this way or that way and you went this way. Sometimes the choices or sometimes the stat at the end is... Your choice led to this person's death, or you elected to save this person. And at that point, you realize, like, oh, crap, if I had gone that way, that guy would have lived? Because you just don't necessarily think right away that you actually have that much control of the plot, because the amount of writing and programming and all kinds of stuff to be able to follow every possible outcome is just kind of staggering.
Chris?
Yeah. No, sorry. I just kind of I naturally felt like somebody else was going to say something there. so I let it ride.
It's all right. I'll jump in. The other thing The other thing that's really really impressive about these games to me, but this one in particular too, is the voice acting. Like they really, really I think nail these characters.
Well, beats the piss out of Sam and Max and stuff like that.
Well,
it's definitely taken a forward step in the right direction if they're trying to get a little bit more fluid and realistic with that stuff.
Do you disagree, Tiff?
I do somewhat disagree. I think that the voice acting in it is fine. There's not really been any moment where I was like, ugh, this is terrible. But I would say it's fairly average. There's really nothing been in it that's really blown me away as far as that's concerned.
I guess as long as it isn't terrible, it's not like detracting from the experience.
No, not at all. No, it's perfectly adequate.
Now,
I disagree. I really like it, but
okay.
Did Telltale they did the episodic Monkey Island game too, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I have not played through that one, and I own it on more than one platform. I haven't played through it, which is ridiculous.
I hear that it's phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, I love every single one of the Monkey Island games. I mean, all the ones that I played, minus this last one. But I love that this exists. I mean, just take a step back and think of the absurdity of the fact that there is a relatively popular adventure game based on a Vertigo comic book. Like,
yeah,
that's pretty crazy.
How far we've come.
Yeah.
And just the fact that we have grown-up choose-your-own-adventure novels is pretty amazing. Like, I'm just kind of excited about that.
Yeah. I just love that this kind of stuff is being taken seriously.
Well, yeah, it's interesting because this style of game, like, this genre of game, was so popular in Japan for so many years and never really cracked American shores.
It's hard to call it a game, though. Like, I don't really... Sure. When I'm sitting here playing it, I even feel that playing is the wrong word. Like, I don't feel like I'm playing a game. And, you know, it's funny because there were actually several times while I was playing it that I put the controller down, because often while I'm watching TV, I will pick my phone up and, you know, I'll watch TV and, like, I'll see a guy and I'll be like, hey, it's a guy that's in that thing. So I'll pick my phone up to look up that guy real quick and be like, yep, he was in that thing. And I do that constantly. And I find myself a lot while playing this game, I will actually put the controller down and pick my phone up. And then, like, a decision point will come up, and I'm like, oh, crap, I'm playing this. I'm not just watching it. So, it like, they're doing a pretty good job. I'm pretty excited about it.
And good on them, too. Like, way to go, Telltale Games. I'm so glad that they've been sticking with this stuff. Because, I mean, yeah, they never really approached true mainstream popularity, but there was a point in time where these games were in fact popular, like during the PC age, where you got stuff like Maniac Mansion and Secret of Monkey Island, Loom, and they were a popular genre among the PC crowd. But and I'm glad that this genre has kind of found another foothold in modern gaming, and it's just nice to see something that very distinctly retro come back into modern times, because you know, sometimes things get lost. Sometimes things get forgotten about. Like, I don't know. I was just thinking. I know it's a weird analog, but I was just thinking about baseball cards the other day and how I used to love baseball cards and like comic book cards. And you just don't. It's not there anymore. For some reason, the want to collect that kind of stuff just isn't in the collective consciousness anymore. And it can happen to things like genres of video games. Like, there was a time where I thought adventure games were absolutely dead, and now they're part of mainstream gaming again, and that's cool. I like.
Yeah, these games are certainly fucking popular. Like, The Walking Dead is certainly their most popular, but the Game of Thrones game that Telltale is doing right now is selling phenomenally well. The Borderlands one that they did is apparently really great, but I've never played Borderlands, so.
Yeah, me neither. It doesn't really.
I have no interest in it, but it's apparently selling very, very well.
And I say so, good on them.
Yeah, no, it's awesome.
I'm just excited about the property they picked, because Walking Dead is an obvious choice. Game of Thrones is an obvious choice. I mean, duh. Do you like money? Well, here you go. But Fables, I have long felt, deserved a movie and a TV show and an everything everywhere, because I just love it. It's so unique and it's so well done, and it's just awesome. And so I'm super excited that out of everything they could have picked, that this is what they've gone with. And I'm excited that it's doing well enough that they seem to be continuing for the foreseeable future.
I just really hope this leads to a Sandman.
Damn, you're hoping too big, man. You're hoping too big.
Reach for the stars.
God damn it. Or like a Why the Last Man, or a Preacher. Geez.
Oh, a Preacher. Okay. Oh, okay, all right.
They're doing a Preacher thing already, so.
Well, they're doing a TV show.
Arseface is coming to TV.
I'm so excited.
Right. Can't wait to see that.
Oh, I'm just saying that all of these, like, I mean, I would even say that Fables is, Preacher and Sandman are fairly popular. They have a fairly large following.
Well, so does Fables.
Yeah, Fables is pretty
massively successful.
Large too.
Yeah. You don't get to 140 issues without people buying them.
You're right.
Yeah, and don't they also have that spinoff as well?
Ferrist, yeah. And they had another one. Ferrist. Jack of Fables ran for a while too.
Yeah.
But anyway,
good on Bill Willingham.
Yeah, way good to go, Fables. Way to go with this game existing, The Wolf Among Us. Everybody should go check it out. So. All right, next up on our list is Dean. What was your game of May?
I played this little indie game that people have been talking about for the past few days or so. It's called, what's it called? Witcher 3.
Oh!
Yeah, that one.
I'm not going to say it, because I
heard about
what that
the really cool, like, grassroots 8-bit graphics and everything, and everyone was like, yeah, you got to try it, man. It's so indie and, like,
yeah, I heard,
off the radar.
If you can get past the visuals, then it's a pretty cool experience. But you've really got to grit past the really just awful art direction and I mean, it's supposed to be like Atari level graphics, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, pretty much. It's close. It's
a
close.
Bunch of squares.
Yeah, a bunch of squares. Written by monkeys, I heard. Terrible, terrible script. But there's like a heart and a soul to it.
Yeah, the final boss is actually you got to cut off Custer's penis.
Wow.
Why haven't I played this game yet?
It's called The Crucial Circumcision. That's the storyline arc.
Are you all right? Are you playing this on PC or console?
I am playing it on PC, and it's really fucking pretty. And I don't have like the beefiest gaming PC. I'm actually using my heavy duty one to do all the recording and streaming. So you know, this is like it has a middle of the line graphics card, and I have it on the middle of the line setting, and it still looks really damn good. Like Xbox 360, Xbox One graphics, and I'm like, this is just dumb how nice this is running. And I hear people having like issues about crap on the PS3 or not, I'm sorry, PS4 and Xbox One. I'm having no troubles whatsoever because I bought it on the PC and everything was worked out already for me.
I've seen some videos of like some really scary glitches in the sex scenes in the game.
Oh God, I read about that. I haven't seen it yet.
It's pretty traumatizing. I haven't, to be honest with you.
I haven't really gotten that far yet, but I don't think I want to.
Well, have you played Witcher 1 and 2? Because I don't know. I seem to remember, and maybe I'm thinking of the wrong game, but I seem to remember there was like an Xbox 360 game, which I thought was The Witcher, that was like some sort of like Morrowind ripoff and was hysterically awful.
No. You're thinking of Two Worlds.
Two Worlds.
Yeah, it was really, really bad. It was on the Xbox 360. Everyone thought it was the next big thing. Gonna be fucking better than Skyrim because it's three-dimensional. You could do whatever you want. Or I'm not sorry, not three-dimensional, third person. And it was
Nobody
fucking
takes
terrible.
Any arrows to the knee.
Yeah, you know, it was supposed to be the next big thing. It wasn't in the time of Morrowind. It was when Oblivion came out. Fucking bad. It was really bad. And I hated every because I bought it. I drank the Kool-Aid. I was like, this is going to be great, man. Whoever says this is going to be a bad game is a fucking liar because I was like 16 and I thought I knew everything. So
you talked like that too?
Yeah. I just went around. What's up, man? I'm fucking Dean. I'm the best.
I'm Dean. I don't open my mouth all the way when I talk.
I bought
I
Two
like
Worlds.
This is
and,
an impression of J-Pain doing an impression of Dean.
Where do you think she got it from? That was me just making fun of myself most of the time.
We just went deeper. It was pretty crazy.
More origin Dean story. Section. I'm happy about that. But yes. Yes, but I mean, back to the Witcher game. It's a lot of fun. It's super open world. Like, I thought this was going to be sort of more Dragon Quest, a little more linear. This is like, yeah, you could do the main quest, or you could hunt a griffin and kill it, or you can go get these different power-ups around, or you could destroy a monster's nest. And I'm just like, what? I want to do all the other stuff. I don't want to look for someone's kid in a forest somewhere. I want to go fucking kill a minotaur and shit. That's what I want
There's
to do.
There's always a kid in the forest. Damn kids.
I'm not going to lie. I've played three quests where that's been a thing. I lost someone in the forest, and you find out they're dead or someone
got
kidnapped.
Quit going in the damn forest.
Stay out of the woods. Jeez. Yeah.
If you're dumb enough to go in there, you deserve to die.
Yeah, so there's a lot. It's a lot of that. And then they entice you with, like, there's just basically, the main quest is like a gray, unhappy area, and then you see over the hills all the side quests that are rainbows and lollipops, and everything's happy, and you just want to be there all day. But here's the problem. If you do that all day, that's 240 hours worth of questing.
I'm having a hard time imagining rainbows and lollipops in a game called Witcher. The Witcher.
Oh, is Dr. Lollipop there?
Yeah, you totally just get to impale him on his staff.
Barry and Levon there, 240 hours worth of pudding.
Oh my God, yeah. State reference.
I can't hear the number 240 without going there. Oh God. Well, anyway, sorry to interrupt you again, but have you, I actually didn't answer the question earlier. Have you played the other two Witcher games? Are there only two Witcher games? Are there spinoffs and stuff?
Nothing
about this franchise.
Actually, this game is based on the books, which came out in the early 90s that are like short stories, and I was like, I kind of want to see what this guy else, what else he did. Because I played a little bit of the first one. I played like 15 minutes of the second one just because it didn't run well on a new computer. So I was like, fuck it. And I ended up with this one. And they play radically different. Like, the controls are weird. It's more like a point they were made for the PC, so the controls were like super different. This one you can play on a controller just fine, and it maps out fine, so there's no problems with that. Try doing that with the old Witcher, and it really wouldn't work that well. They didn't lay it out that way. So I like this one a little better for that part of it, but I'm sure I'm upsetting the PC Master Race saying that the third one is better than the first and second. So PC Master Race, I apologize.
Race needs to get over itself.
Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, the Supreme.
Adventure games are back, PC Master Race. Get over it.
Fucking jerks. Anyway, oh God, there's going to be a helicopter over my house in like 10 minutes. but yeah.
Hashtag suck all the dicks.
Good.
Damn.
Yes.
Look, that was an overreaction.
No, it's not.
Wow. But so I was the more I played, the more I just kind of got sucked into the side quests and stuff. And I feel like that's the way the game's designed. Like, you could go just down this way, or you could go anywhere possible with a, like, very evil smile, knowing that you're going to spend hours and hours on their game and nowhere else. They designed it really well. All the side quests are fun. They work well with the main storyline. Some even tie in. You can find all this crazy-ass armor, and it all leads to the final boss battle and endgame, which will make everything easier in the end. So it's all very cohesive and good, and everyone should buy it who gets a chance. I like it. It's two thumbs up.
Now, does it do the thing that made me stop playing Skyrim?
What's that?
Because Skyrim can go pound sand as far as I'm concerned. Because it did a thing where the more items I picked up, the slower I moved. And I understand that in reality, that would be the case. Like, I couldn't carry a bunch of shit and walk as fast as I had been walking as if I were carrying nothing. However,
still looks like you're carrying nothing.
It's a video game.
It's not like you get a giant bag weighing you down.
The purpose is to be fun, after all.
Right. I really hated that part
of
Skyrim.
No, the Witcher is just 100% fun. It actually, like, if you, items bring back your health, so I could have, like, a biscuit in my hand and I eat it, I gain back some vitality. But if I run out of the biscuit, it actually just takes another one out for me and assigns it to the slot. I don't have to do anything. There's no weight restraints as far as I can tell. You do have slots available to you, so you'll have to drop something sometimes.
And I'm fine with that. Right. Like, that makes sense. It was just I picked up too many candlesticks, and now I'm walking slow.
Wouldn't work in this game because it's all third person. So you're seeing him move around and stuff, and you know, be incredibly athletic, do all these crazy sword moves. And if he had all the crap on him that you had in your inventory, there'd be axes hanging off of him and like 17 helmets stacked like a fucking mile high. He's balancing everything, trying to fucking kill a griffin. It just swats him away, and he's dead.
Yeah, he's the Cat in the Hat, basically.
Pretty much, exactly.
So there's no weight restraints, but there's also no biscuit restraints. Like
there
it will continuously
that sounds
produce
like
biscuit.
My fucking cup of tea.
Seriously.
I also live my life with no weight and or biscuit restraints, and it's curious how those two things kind of go hand in hand.
That's the title for the episode. Good job.
No weight or biscuit restraints.
I'm pretty liberally minded about gravy.
Biscuits
are
and sausage gravy. Are there gravy restraints?
No, none whatsoever.
So this
10
game,
out of 10.
As you want.
This
10 out
game
10?
Provides you with unlimited and automatically re-equipping biscuits and gravy.
Okay, guys, just
that's
disclaimer.
No, it
life.
Doesn't. But you said it
really
automatically re-equips your biscuit.
If you have more biscuits, they just don't magically appear in your hand. It's not like
this
fucking
game is
Popeyes.
Really big in the South.
Son of a
seriously?
Bitch. Is there like...
Could you imagine like just walking around being like, I'm a big package. I'm going to open this special bag I have here and pull out some biscuits and gravy. That would be
every
amazing.
Time.
Every time.
That's the one magical Sacks ability. It doesn't store unlimited items. It doesn't pull out a sword. You just store unlimited biscuits and gravy there.
I'm going to have a huge fuck-off party, but you guys all got to come at me one at a time, because it just brings out one plate at a time.
It brings out a plate of them, like, all prepared for you? That's awesome.
Like Mary Poppins.
I didn't know Mary Poppins.
Wait, the Witcher is Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's it.
It's all coming together. 10 out of 10. 11 out of 10. This is the best game ever.
Biscuit out of 10.
Yeah, so that's The Witcher. Biscuit Simulator.
Biscuit Simulator 2000. Holy shit, Dean. You have made me want to play a PC game.
Yeah, there you go.
Seriously.
You for no reason that is in the actual game.
You don't know that. It could be.
I'm going to be pissed like halfway through, that be 140 hours into it and be like, there's no goddamn gravy in this game. Son of a bitch, those Stone Age gamer guys. I can't even find a sausage. Are there sausage?
Yeah, you could. There's a McDonald's. You go in there and get a McMuffin.
Oh, shit.
That's the McWitcher 3.
With cheese.
With cheese? With cheese.
Oh.
That's the expansion pack.
It's coming in the DLC.
Pickles and cheese DLC.
Oh, do they have specially themed DLC where, like, you can get the McRib, but for a limited time only?
Yes.
And only at participating web servers?
And the what do they have that? The Shamrock Shake?
Oh, fuck.
Oh, Shamrock Shake.
Shamrock Shake add-on? Yeah.
The ketchup pack.
So sad.
Is there a mayonnaise cannon?
You know there is.
Perfect opportunity.
You fucking know it. And I didn't even say it this time. It wasn't even me. Dan, thank you for the setup.
You've been working on making that happen all episode, Dan. I very purposely did not say that earlier.
You know, and I would have let it go. I wasn't. I totally forgot about. It was not even in my head.
We did so many episodes, and we're just like we have one of those. This workplace has been mayonnaise cannon free for so many days, and now we got to reset it back to zero.
Gotta erase the chalkboard.
What just happened?
I don't know.
What did Skype just say? There's a problem with this call.
Oh, we lost Dean again.
We lost Dean again.
God damn it.
Son of a bitch.
Well, that's okay, because we're just about at break time, and obviously we're not going to get any more positive information out of The Witcher than we have already. So
sound awesome, though, actually.
It really does.
Not for nothing. It was a game that...
Okay, you don't have to pander to Dean when he's not actually here.
I'm not pandering. I wasn't interested in it, and Dean actually made me interested in it.
Yeah, if I had the time for some sort of open world thing, and God knows what's going to happen to me when they do that to Zelda, because I won't have a choice but to play it. But this Witcher 3 game does sound pretty legit. But all right, well, we tried to figure out what the hell happened to Dean. We're going to take ourselves
a quick
break.
The Witcher gods came down, and they were like, Mayonnaise Canyon, this bitch.
We'll be back in just a moment. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
Artist Avenue has returned. This time, our very own Evan Goldstein shines the spotlight on a young artist who loves the X-Men and has a great story to tell. Who doesn't love the X-Men? I think Marvel, actually. They don't love them too much anymore because they're owned by Fox. They like the Inhumans more. Either way. Don't miss Artist Avenue, Episode 2, Iden Nafo. Did I say that right? You'll have to listen to the episode to know for sure, because I sure as hell don't.
The Atari 2600 had one heck of a library, and there's a guy out there who is playing every stinking one of them just for us. His name is Ferg, and his Atari 2600 Game by Game podcast is something special. Read our latest Think Tank article going game by game for more info on this cool show.
Dean finally put the nail in the coffin of Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. Like, literally, he killed Kirby. It was fucked up. It was bloody.
Nails?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Ouch.
Yeah, I was there. It was gross. But what state has it left his mind in? And what happened to his animated friend? Don't miss the final chapter of Bit Bites, Kirby and the Rainbow Curse.
And finally, the Paper Cuts crew has been going through some tough times. Crossover season is in full swing and has been beating everybody down relentlessly with book after book after book. And Dan has been taking the worst beating of all from DC's Convergence.
Oh my god, it's so bad.
With the bulk of the event behind him, can he make it across the finish line with his spirit intact? Find out in Paper Cuts, issue 36, Dan Vergence. You can catch all this great content, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more, exclusively at Geekade.com. Hi everyone! With South Jersey Geek Fest and Atlantic City Boardwalk Con behind us, Geekade's summer tour is half over, but the biggest events are still to come. First, we're going to be at Too Many Games at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center on June 26th, 27th, and 28th. We'll be at the StoneAgeGamer.com's booth, and we're even hosting a live panel at the event. Then, on July 25th and 26th at the William G. Menden Sports Arena in Morristown, New Jersey, Geekade is taking over Garden State Comic Fest 2015. We'll be hosting another live panel, as well as walking the show floor and doing all sorts of fun things with everyone we meet. Don't read too much into that. So come out and meet us all live in person. We might even have some cool swag giveaway. See you there. And we have returned. Well, at least most of us have. We have lost Dean to the ether. I don't know what happened to him, where he went. He's sucked dead. Into Convergence, DC's Convergence. Or Worlds God. Unite. No, he got sucked into Worlds Unite.
That means there's like a really shitty...
Sega's continuity now. He's stuck living with Sonic Boom.
Oh
God.
He's Sonic's new love interest.
So terrifying. But I am legitimately excited for Worlds Unite. I'm very excited for that. But that's Paper Cuts talk. So we're going to get back to our games of May, and we're going to move on to Dan. So Dan, what was your game of May?
I have been playing a game that you have talked about before, briefly, and mentioned how much you loved it. What you forgot to mention, though, sir, was how difficult this game was. And maybe it's just me, but I have been playing Shovel Knight, and I have been rather surprised at how fucking hard this game is.
It is deceptively complicated, because it looks like such a like a cute little simple retro pixelated, this, you know, gonna be like Mario, and it's like there's deceptively complicated.
This game is designed to invoke Zelda 2, Mega Man, and DuckTales. None of which are easy games.
Yep. Nope. And it fucking nails that to a T. So, I really enjoy the game. I really do like it. What I have had a difficult time with this whole time is the swing mechanic on the shovel. The attack.
Just like straight melee attack? Like
path?
Oh, yeah,
range.
I never used that. I always jump on people's heads. Yeah, it's really tough.
Yeah,
but
it's
I mean,
really
again,
not great.
I think it's like, I kind of feel like that's intentional, almost like how the ducking is useless, like hilariously useless, because it's a freaking shovel. It's not a sword; it's a shovel. So you're swinging a shovel. So what's the best thing to do with a shovel is emulate digging and coming down on top of their heads. I don't know. I almost feel like that was intentional in some way, shape, or form. But oh my God, yeah, the melee attacks are just really tough.
Yeah, I feel like it's a frame and a half, or like half a frame too short. It really just, it puts a very strange range on it. But at the same time, projectiles that are fired at you, damn near every one, I don't know that I've found one in the game yet, and I just got up to Propeller Knight, which I think is about 3/4 of the way through the game or so.
Think so.
Because I think there's Propeller Knight, and then, another stage, and then the final castle, I think, is what I have left. I don't know that I've found a projectile that has been thrown at me that I haven't been able to deflect with the shovel yet, which is kind of a really cool mechanic that you can knock almost every enemy's projectile attack back at them. And
I've never even tried that.
Oh, really? Yeah, like all the wizards that throw like the orbs and shit at you, you can knock all those back and like, it adds a certain layer of strategy to the attack patterns and whatnot.
That is actually ringing a bell, but I don't think I discovered that until way later in the game, to be honest with you.
I don't know, I think I did it by accident, like, right at the beginning, and was like, oh, that's cool, I can do that now.
Plus there's flying cuttlefishy-looking things.
Yeah, there's a lot of really weird shit in this game. Like, I really enjoy this game. There is a lot of really great stuff going on in this game, and Mega Man and Legend of Zelda 2 and DuckTales, those are so spot on as influences in this game. I mean, down to the fact that in the very first stage, there's like a griffin that pops up on the right-hand side of the screen and spits out fireballs in the same wave pattern that the cat spit them out in Mega Man 2 and the dog in Mega Man 3. Like, that is damn near exact, and there's a lot of the jumping mechanics are the position of the ladders throughout the stage, very similar to Mega Man as well.
And it's so weird, because you think about those three games and go, nope, those three games don't go together at all. And yet, they do.
Somehow they managed to meld them all together.
And they are simultaneously, this game is exactly like each three of those for completely different reasons. It's very weird.
Yeah, it's a very interesting mix. Like I said, I really do enjoy this game, and I'm very happy that it's out on the PS4. Before the show, I got into the Hall of Champions and found the scroll to bring Kratos to the map. Because spoiler warning, if you haven't played the PS4 or you haven't heard about it yet, Kratos, I probably should have said spoiler warning first. Kratos is a hidden boss in the game, and you can unlock him in the Hall of Champions. And then he pops up on the map, just like these four other wandering knights pop up throughout the game. Sort of like the Hammer Brothers popped up in Super Mario Brothers 3. I believe they were Hammer Brothers?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, very, very similar to that in the overworld map thing. So that I'll fight him probably later tonight and try and get through him. But I've seen the fight online, and it's I don't know that I'm ready for it yet.
Yeah, it looks tough.
It really
does. I'm genuinely, like, I'm not going to lie to you, I'm just totally butthurt at the fact that I kickstarted this game. I helped pay for this game to exist.
Yeah.
And I had it on the Wii U, and I'm damn proud to have it, and I loved every second of it. I beat the crap out of it. But now it's on PS4 with Kratos, and more importantly, it's on Xbox with the Battletoads in it.
Yeah.
And there's no exclusive character on the Wii version, which was the original version.
Which is really surprising.
I paid for this game to exist in the first place, and now I'm stuck with the inferior version of it, which is a little obnoxious.
I suppose, theoretically, the argument to that was that you had it for, like, 8 months first?
Yeah, and that's a valid point, and it's, like I said, I'm butthurt about it. It's totally a selfish, you know, just kind of, it was supposed to be an exclusive on my console, and now everybody else has got cool things. And I mean, really, the Kratos thing doesn't bother me that much. It was kind of like Dante and Devil May Cry. I was like, all right, that's neat, but you can have that. Not Dante and Devil May Cry, and Beautiful Joe for PlayStation.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, all right, whatever, that's kind of neat, but it's not, like, hurting me. The Battletoads thing is hurting me, because it's even pulling from the NES version of Battletoads hardcore.
And, oh, yeah.
And that just kills me. That this is what that property, that this is all Microsoft has done with that property since acquiring it. It sits on a shelf and it rots until somebody makes an amazing game like Shovel Knight, and like now we're gonna shove the Battletoads in everybody's face. So all those Nintendo fans that are super happy that they got this Shovel Knight game, those are the fans that are upset that Battletoads are available somewhere else.
Yeah,
the whole thing just makes me.
I don't
mad.
Think it was a personal attack against you, Chris.
No, I think it might have been.
I think it was directed squarely at me. Nah, I bear absolutely zero ill will to Yacht Club Games. I mean, they had an opportunity to put the Battletoads in their game. I mean,
how do you not do it? Yeah.
How do you not jump at that opportunity? And, I mean, it kind of, like, was exciting to an extent, like, thinking what kind of Nintendo character would they put into, for a Nintendo exclusive, which I don't think it's going to happen. Like, I don't think they're going to go back and do some sort of update with an extra character.
Well, I don't know, because there is the free update, the Plague of Shadows expansion, where you play as the Plague Knight is coming.
That's true. I mean, they are supporting the game, so who knows, but I don't know.
Like, it would have to be Kid Icarus, right? Like, I don't say that to get, like, to get your dick moving.
Ew! What's wrong with getting his hopes up?
Sorry, to get your hopes up. That's a way better way of putting
Christ.
That.
To his fan base. God.
Pit would be amazing.
But that makes sense, right? Like, yeah, that would be the type of character. Because Samus
would just be really bizarre. But then the Battletoads are really strange, too, because they show up in a goddamn spaceship.
Yeah, that's really fun.
Although,
lore, actually,
there is precedent with Turtles in Time, so...
Yeah. I kind of feel like the... I don't know. I think Donkey Kong might be really interesting.
Amphibians can travel back and forth, too. Yeah, not Turtles in Time. What was that? It was the live-action movie, the third one, where they, like, go back in time to feudal Japan or some nonsense.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and also the game, Turtles in Time. That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So, amphibians can travel freely, is what I'm saying.
That's canon.
That's canon. Right? That's totally, totally established. Doable. Yeah, no, but, I mean, I would obviously love to see Pit, but I would also, I think it would be hilarious to see Samus in it. I feel like Donkey Kong would be really amusing. Like, I don't know why. I just feel like a Donkey Kong, like a classic Donkey Kong stage, not country, but like him chucking barrels and you as Shovel Knight trying to get through the construction site or something. I feel like that would be really
really awesome. Like
Samus would be really cool if they gave her knight armor. You know what I mean? Like if they altered her armor to be
To kind of fit the that would be cool.
Yeah, like I would be really disappointed if they announce an update and it's Link. Like it's kind of uninspired.
Exactly. That's too on the nose.
That's easy. Yeah.
It's like picking Battletoads out of all the things to put into the game. It's like that would just be too easy. You would want something as creative and off the wall as Battletoads, or like Donkey Kong was in Punch Out for crying out loud, and that was hysterical. I would love to see something like that.
There you go, Little Mac. That would be an inspired choice.
Oh my God, that would be ridiculous.
Yeah, that would be really cool. But anyway, so just to refresh everyone, if you haven't played the game or if you haven't listened to the previous shows where we've talked about it, it really is just at its core, it is a 2D side-scrolling platformer. You have two basic attacks to start with. You can swing your shovel forward, and you can jump and down slash with your shovel on the head of enemies. That's pretty much what you need to get going through the game. You pick up relics throughout the game that boost your powers. You get a fireball attack. You get, like, an air punch that will help you bust through blocks and shit like that and continue to move across the screen. There's a coin attack that I haven't used very much. It's kind of weird. A bouncing orb attack that you can get. A fishing rod that...
Fishing! That was the best.
I fucking suck at, apparently. But the stages are really, really creatively laid out. The secrets that are in there are a little too obvious. I feel like that's one of the knocks I have against this game, and I don't know
that you can
just...
always you see the spots where you can hit the shovel to make the walls disappear.
They might as well have put a big sign that said "fucking hit me." There's something behind this.
But that's the trick, is that I'd say only about 75% of the secrets are that, because there's other walls that aren't marked that you can hit, and that's where it's like this great misdirection.
You didn't even know about the secrets.
Well, but that's the thing. I'm probably not even going to go look for them. You know what I mean?
It's just too hard.
Because it's too hard. I don't have time. No,
yeah, they're usually placed in like really intelligently. Like you look at the wall and think there's probably something there, and then you take a swing. It's like finding the secrets in Symphony of the Night or something, where it's like they didn't necessarily mark all the walls, but it's like you could kind of tell. All right, something's wrong with this room, or something's wrong with this wall. This just feels out of place. It was very intelligently designed, and I thought all the secrets were going to be all those little marked blocks, and that was kind of a disappointment until I discovered that there's other ones that aren't marked. So it's kind of like, if you're not looking for it, you're just going to assume this is just the way it is, and then you get to a point and it's like, actually, it's not. There's a little more clever than I thought.
Well, and that's the way Kratos is. In the Hall of Champions, there's, like, you have to downslash into a secret room to get over to Kratos. And you're like, when you walk into the room, you're right, it is very much the, it looks like there might be something over there. I'm going to go see if I can't fuck with that for a second. And oh, lo and behold, there it is. The bosses are all really cool and really interesting. I would have liked... And I understand why they didn't do it, but it's 2015, we've put a man on the goddamn moon, for Christ's sake. Give me voice acting in my games, please. Like,
No, I
disagree.
I would not want voice acting in this game, no way.
I disagree, I want over-the-top, ridiculous
but
shit.
Then it loses its whole vibe.
Yeah, I know, but like I said, that's me personally. I would like to see some voice acting.
I'm not a huge fan. Like, I don't, a lot of people complain about that in Zelda games too, and I actually prefer it not. Like, I like to be able to. Like, you were talking actually, Tiff, last week. You mentioned about the representation of things in games, and it's like it's showing you what you're supposed to be seeing. That's how I like reading my RPGs. I prefer them without voice acting because it lets me kind of interpret what the characters are saying in my own way, and I get to imagine what they sound like. And I've always appreciated that quite a bit. And I'm voice acting in Shovel Knight. I just feel like that would have been crazy.
I don't know. Like I do get that point, and I'm not saying like I would want voice acting for every single like weird character that walks by you in the villages and whatnot. Because I don't want to know what a horse in a dress sounds like. I would, you know, much prefer to make that voice up in my own head. But Shovel Knight makes, like, no sound throughout the thing. And I at least, I guess, in the absence of voice acting, I would have appreciated at least the Legend of Zelda, give me a grunt or something. Like you said, he's so stoic. Such a stoic knight. Which I suppose is the point. But, I don't know. Like, that, again, that's a me thing, and that's fine. Other than that, this game it's really fucking good. It's just a really solid, like, it's super fun. If you're not somebody who likes 2D platformers, this isn't going to win you over. Like, this game, if that's not your thing, this game isn't for you. Just put that out there. It's very hard. It's very old school, which I love. I love that these things exist. I love the Price is Right. It was like $15. You just fucking give it a shot. Especially because they're giving free downloadable support. Like, they are putting out a whole expansion for free, which is awesome.
Couldn't agree more. Shovel Knight is absolutely fantastic.
And quick shout out to Banjo Guy Ollie for doing a fucking amazing cover of, what's the name of the song? Strike the Earth. Really excellent cover. The music in general is really great in this game.
It is, yeah. They got some really great talent. I mean, they got some folks, I think the lady who did music for Mega Man 1 and 2 contributed a track or two to it. It's just really, really good stuff.
You can tell that the people making this game really love and respect where video games have come from. You know, like there's an obvious passion in this project. And I respect that.
Same here. All right, I'm going to finish out the night with my game of May. And to be perfectly honest, I've only been playing one game this month. And that is Ultimate NES Remix for 3DS, specifically the championship mode. Now, I've already talked about NES Remix a ton on the show. It was my game of the year last year. I loved NES Remix 1 and 2, but this one in particular I'm playing because, as I mentioned in the show earlier, I am competing in the Nintendo World Championships. If you missed it, Nintendo is hosting the Nintendo World Championships. I say world in the same way that the World Series covers the world. It's really just America. But
America has won every year.
Every
year. Very impressive in a world event.
Way to go, USA. So, 1990 World Championships was an event that I always wanted to go to, and I didn't know it existed until after it already happened, because I didn't have my own subscription to Nintendo Power, and I lived in New Jersey.
You retroactively always wanted to go.
I did. I found out about it in, like, 91, and I was like, oh my god, that was real? I thought it was just in the movie!
Son of a bitch!
I was, god, I wanted to do that so badly, and now's my chance. They're having the closest store that is hosting the event. So just to put things, the rules in place here, 8 Best Buy locations across the country are having hosting a tournament where the highest score in championship mode of NES Ultimate NES Remix for 3DS wins, and those 8 winners will fly out to LA to compete on the Sunday right before E3 for the Nintendo World Championships 2015 finals against 8 other people that Nintendo will be choosing for under whatever criteria. We don't know what the prizes are, and we don't know what the actual competition is. So,
does it matter?
Fun. Not for me.
I mean, honestly, what even if it was just a handshake from Reggie, wouldn't that be enough?
A handshake and a high five, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I mean, in a trip to L.A., that's kind of awesome, too. They do pay for the trip for the winners. They're covering expenses for getting out there, a hotel stay, and all that jazz, which is really
It's
cool.
Nice, but then you have to be in L.A.
Yeah, hey. It's true.
And sorry to anybody who lives in L.A. and who listens to the show.
And or grew up in L.A.
And grew up in L.A.
Stars on this show.
Your city sucks.
What do you mean?
Do any of us really star in this show?
I am the star.
I disagree.
I am the star. I'm from L.A. I'm the star.
See, anyway. That's why your city sucks. Because people like that say shit from there.
So in the original Nintendo World Championships, the way it worked was there was a cart that they made just for the event, which had Super Mario Brothers, where I think you collected... I think you collected 50 coins in Super Mario Brothers, and then once you collected that 50th coin, the game stops, and you would move on to Rad Racer, and you have to complete the first stage in Rad Racer, and once you did that, the game then stops, and then you finish out your time in Tetris and get as high a score as you can. The game ran for 6 minutes and 21 seconds, and once it was over, you have a high score, and that's that. And each game gives you a different multiplier for your points. Ultimate NES Remix for 3DS, the reason they chose this game was because there's a championship mode in there that emulates the NES original NES World Championships, which is really cool and really dumb at the same time. What makes it really cool is that, oh, it's like the Nintendo World Championships cart. It's kind of like harkening back to the original event. That's really neat. What makes it really dumb is that the games are Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario Brothers 3, and Dr. Mario. And Dr. Mario... Alright, so if you're trying to play Dr. Mario competitively against, you know, one against one, it's about, you know, 70% skill and maybe 30% luck. If you're trying to play the game and beat stages and kill viruses as fast as you can, it's about 85 to 90% skill and the rest of it luck.
Yeah, it's if like you're trying to play competitive Candy Crush.
Yeah. If you're trying to play this game for points, like you're doing in this tournament, it's 50% luck, 50% skill. Like, there is so much luck involved in whether or not you win, it is absurd. So the first thing is getting the 50 coins of Super Mario Brothers, and whatever score you get gets multiplied by 2. So you'd think that would be worth something, but no. You want to get through that as fast as humanly possible. Let me back up just a little bit. If you've been following us on Facebook and Twitter and whatever, you've seen me taking silly pictures of myself, quote-unquote, training for the event.
Which, might I add, you've been wearing the same shirt for 10 days.
It's true. Also, in the picture of me doing push-ups on the Wii Fit balance board, the TV's not on, so...
You know,
it's a good time. It's a good shirt. It's comfortable. You know, I don't need to wash it.
I feel bad.
It's
for
a complicated
Karen.
Training regime. Okay,
it is. Whatever. It's very complex.
It's like your playoff beard. I get it.
I have been doing actual training. I've been playing this game every single day since they announced it. I went over to a store to Level Up Entertainment in the Hamilton Mall, great game store. I picked up a copy of Ultimate NES Remix for 3DS, and I've been playing championship mode several times every single day, trying to hone my skills on it and trying to figure out how I can win. And the strategies I've come up with are, you know, getting through Mario 1 and Mario 3 as fast as possible. Because while Super Mario 1, they multiply your score by 2, which is neat, but Super Mario 3, they only multiply by 1. Dr. Mario, they multiply your score by 100. That's where all your score is going to come in. So you need as much time as humanly possible playing Dr. Mario. The best I've gotten, again, the game runs at for 6 minutes and 21 seconds. Or 6 minutes and 12 seconds. Now I'm drawing a blank on that one. But either way, I can get to Dr. Mario with 5 minutes on the clock. 4 minutes and 58 seconds about. Which seems to be the fastest time that I can come up with. And the problem is that the game can screw you. Like, what you need to do is create, 5 and 6 tier combos. You need to be able to, you know, place things and think enough moves ahead so that when you actually do destroy one virus, it kills one after one after one after one. And you need to get into the 5 and 6 range. Otherwise, your points are never going to be what they need to be in order to win this tournament. I'm averaging about 2 million points per game, and the number one scores on the leaderboard are on the leaderboards is 11 million.
Wow. You're not even close.
I'm not even close.
I love you, but Jesus, dude.
I've gotten up to 4 million in a game. And what I've learned, and I've actually, there was an interview with one of the people that holds one of those high scores, is exactly what I suspected, is it's all dumb luck. Like, it all depends on how the viruses are laid out when you start your game. Because you can play this game 100 times and get 100 different layouts and 100 different pill sets every single time that you play. And that has such a bearing on whether or not you can make combos. Because, all right, say you get to the first stage. The best thing you can do on the first stage is create one move that kills all four viruses on the first stage. And that's going to net you 3,000 points. And then you get to the next stage and you've got, I think, 7 or 8 viruses on the screen. And there's no way to plan for it if you have... Say they're all lined up in this great step format where you can get one and then get another and then get another. That's great. But if you've got 6 viruses, 3 of them are red and they're all directly on top and then the other ones are nowhere near that, you can't combo into that. And what's more is, like, let's say they even do give you that perfect step situation. They've got all the viruses in the greatest way that you could possibly imagine, but the first 3 pills you need are red and yellow, and they're giving you nothing but blue and yellow. And that can happen. That will happen. Like, invariably, you will get exactly what you don't need. And there's a very good chance that that's just going to keep on happening to you. And that's where the luck comes in. You cannot, physically can't reach those high scores if you don't get the right pill and virus layouts. And there's definitely skill involved, because you've got to be able to deal with what you've got, and you've got to be able to plan ahead and see those combos. But unless you get that set up, you're screwed. So while those scores on leaderboards are in the 11s and 12 millions, and, you know, next tier down is like 7 million and stuff like that, I don't expect to see any higher than like a 3 or 4 million per location, unless somebody gets insanely lucky. And that's kind of where this is almost bothersome, is that it's so much of what's going to determine a winner is luck of the draw. And that's kind of disappointing, because, you know, in the original World Championships, you know, getting through Super Mario Brothers, Rad Racer, and then spending the rest of your time on Tetris, Tetris is a much less luck-based game. Like, sure, you can get shitty pieces, but there's something to do with all of them. Dr. Mario's color matching. It's there's a certain point where you can't match blues to reds. You can't do it. You need reds in order to kill red viruses.
It just won't let you.
It just won't let you. And any combos that you make that don't involve killing a virus score you 0 points.
Right. And so, Tetris, you can fuck up in Tetris and build your way out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And
you
Dr.
Can
Mario,
fix Tetris.
If you make some sort of silly mistake, you're screwed. Like, it's going to take you a lot of time to dig out of it. It's not the most skill based game, and to have the whole qualifying round based on that is just kind of annoying. But I'm still going to do it, because it's the Nintendo World Championships, and I get to do that. I live in a world where I get to say that I've competed in the Nintendo World Championships. Even if it involves me driving to Queens and I'm 2.5 hours away, and it's now midnight and I am still recording this show. But that's all I've played this month. I had another game I really wanted to, I picked it up more than a month ago, and I was going to play it for this month. And then they announced this World Championships, and I've played nothing but that. I mean, I've been playing Dr. Mario with Karen, like, competitively from time to time. Karen, my wife, I don't know if listeners know that, but, and that's
just some girl named Karen.
Yeah, just some girl named Karen. I know.
Found her on the street. Like, hey, come play Dr. Mario with me. This is important. I need the practice.
She's like, but sir, I just want a sandwich.
Sir, I'm addicted to heroin. Please help. I will buy you heroin if you play Dr. Mario with me.
Do you like pills? I've got this game about pills.
See, it's all coming together. Chris, really, I got to be honest with you. I am really excited that you're participating in this. I'm calling your plus one. I know you love your wife and I love mine, but I'm going with you.
Well, because if you take the wife, now you got to take the kid, and that's right. The whole situation. And
Chris, I'm putting it out there, recorded for everyone to hear. I promise you'll have more fun with me than Karen.
Yeah, I'm not going to read too much into that.
She's great. She's great. I love her. You know I do. But it would be a lot of fun. I hope you win. I really do.
I hope I win too. I'm genuinely jazzed about this event. It's going to be absolutely ridiculous. I mean, when you think about it, I'm driving 2.5 hours to play a game for 6 minutes and 21 seconds.
With thousands of other people.
I would expect nothing less of you, sir.
Well, they're limiting it to 750 people per location. And I'm just, like, I have no idea what to expect. Like, I could get there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and there will have already been a line of 700 people that camped there overnight, because this is New York. Like, this kind of stuff happens at the Nintendo World Store all the time, but this isn't the Nintendo World Store. This is a Best Buy in Queens. So
or you could
no
get there at
idea.
7 o'clock in the morning and be one of 5 people there.
And if that's the case, I hope I'm the best player there.
Yeah, no, I really... good luck, man. It's really cool.
When does it start?
The tournament starts, I think, at 10. The Best Buy opens at 9. I'm hoping to get there around 7:30 or 8. And I'm just going to get out there and I'm going to be practicing. Because one of the things that I've noticed about myself is that if I just keep playing the game over and over again, I start to see the layouts more. Like, have you ever had Brain Tetris? We've been playing Tetris for so long, and then you close your eyes, and it's constantly there. You're playing the game in your head.
I get Brain Candy Crush.
Yeah.
My eyes, and sprinkle balls happen all over the place.
It happens to me when we're moving. I look at things, and I go, all right, Tetris. How am I going to get this shit in a truck?
So no,
just me?
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever, fuck both of you. Now I hope you lose.
I probably will. Chances are I'm going to go out there and embarrass myself. Because, like, I just... This happened to me at a Punch-Out tournament. I'm ludicrously good at Punch-Out. I don't claim to be overly good at a lot of things, but I am very, very good at Punch-Out.
I have seen you beat that game without looking at the screen, sir. That's pretty damn good.
You've seen me beat a couple of characters without looking. I can do that just based on audio. I love Punch-Out. When the new Punch-Out game came out for Wii, they had a tournament on that new game at the Nintendo World Store. And I went out there, and I choked. I'm looking at everybody else there, and I'm like, this is my first time playing Punch-Out Wii, but, like, I know enough about the mechanics of Punch-Out that I can piece this stuff together. And fortunately, Punch-Out Wii had a lot in common with NES Punch-Out. So I get to Glass Joe, I demolish him in a couple of seconds. Nobody else in the room has even come close to knocking him out, and I've already knocked him out. Then I get to Von Kaiser, the same trick with getting the star punches on him when he's stunned and he gets knocked right down in one hit. Same trick worked in the Wii version. So I'm now ahead of everybody else in the room, bar none. Like, I am demolishing everybody in the room. And then I get to this new kid, the new character, Disco Kid. And when I play NES Punch-Out, I always dodge left, because ducking is damn near useless in that game. So I always dodge left. Dodge left works on everything. Dodge left doesn't work on Disco Kid, and I'm trying to figure out why the whole time I'm playing. And then a Nintendo employee walks by after I've been knocked down twice by Disco Kid. Like, I'm losing my shit. Everybody is now caught up to me. And I'm like, what? I don't understand why this doesn't work. And the guy's like, oh, you can duck. Just, like, press down, you'll duck those punches. I'm like, son of a bitch. I got all the way out here, and I choked. And that's where I lost it on Disco Kid. I beat him, but I was behind everybody else at that point, so I was knocked out of the competition. And then I watched the rest of the competition, and every other character in the game besides Disco Kid works like their NES counterparts. And I'm watching the person who won struggle to fight King Hippo, and I'm like, punch him in the mouth and punch him in the stomach, for Christ's sake.
Everyone knows that. It's like Spider-Man's origin.
I don't think you can call that a choke. You were faced with new information. It was completely opposite from how you had always played. It was a brand new character.
It wasn't, because at the same time, like, while it played like NES Punch-Out, the ducking mechanic was the exact same it was in Super Punch-Out. And I knew that. I had that knowledge that ducking exists, and I just assumed that this game didn't have it. I didn't try ducking, and I just, the fact that it never occurred to me, I view that as a choke. I went out there and I could have won, and I didn't think to duck, and I felt like a jackass. And I feel like that's gonna happen tomorrow. I'm gonna get out there and I'm gonna get it to Dr. Mario and I'm going to like make 500 points and then die and be like, well, that was 2.5 hour drive. I'll never get back.
It or... is an experience of a lifetime, regardless of the outcome.
But then you'll be in Queens, and Queens is cool.
Queens is cool.
It's cooler than Brooklyn.
I have absolutely no idea.
What are we talking about here?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know what we're talking about. But yes. So that's going to be my day tomorrow. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to take pictures and hopefully I meet some fun people. Hopefully I get some street passes on my 3DS and who knows? Hopefully I get the right pills and the right virus layouts and I can win the day. So I guess
we'll
find out.
Bring some business cards.
You should live tweet it.
I'm going to do as many tweets and Instagrams as possible.
I'm excited.
As am I. But that's pretty much it. That's what we have to talk about today. So I would ask Dean to do the thing, but Dean's not here.
Show notes! All the relevant information will be in the show notes. All the games that we talked about, everything we played for May will be in the show notes. Don't know where the show notes are? Pull up your podcatcher of choice. Scroll down to the bottom of the information. You'll see the show notes. Links to our social media. Links to our Facebook page, our Twitter, our Tumblr,
yes,
our
social media.
Do we have any other social medias? I think that's it. Our YouTube page. And if you want to email us, there'll be a handy dandy email link. Please send us your emails. Tell us what you like about the show, what you don't like about the show, and what you might want to hear us cover on the show like we did last week with our Final Fantasy VII episode. Show notes!
Well, Dan, done.
I agree.
Let's go, hon, go home. I've been watching way too much Dragon Ball Z Abridged. Anyway, so that's going to be our episode. Join us next week for our 52nd episode spectacular, where we're going to be going over our always fun E3 predictions and maybe a couple other special things, because we've been doing this for a year. We've actually probably been doing it for more than a year by now, but we're counting them as weekly episodes, and this is going to be 52. So that's going to be our annual anniversary.
The end of season one.
The end of season one. For the love of candy. So yes, we've got, besides that, we've got a handful of really good events coming up. We, most importantly, we have Too Many Games coming up on, I believe, June 17th. Well, June 16th, 17th, and 18th, I'm pretty sure are the dates of the event. But the Saturday of that event at 3 p.m., the Stone Age Gamer Podcast is hosting a live panel. And it's called It's Dangerous to Go Alone, Take $20. Each one of us is going to have $20 to spend on the show floor to come up with the coolest thing that we can buy for $20 or less. And then we're going to have... make our cases for our pieces, and the winner will be crowned the winner at the show, at the live panel. The winner will be crowned the winner. Goodness.
I'm going to win because I have boobs.
Did yeah. you buy them for $20?
Nope, but these boobs can make things that are worth a lot more than $20 be only $20. See,
well,
it's my secret weapon.
Anything you can purchase will be admissible. So, yeah, look forward to that. And then after that, we're going to be doing some stuff at Garden State Comic Fest. It's going to be absolutely awesome, but we'll get a lot more information on that as we get closer to the event. So, again, thanks everybody for listening. Thank you, Dan and Tiff, for joining me. Thank you, Dean, for...
failing in the
for,
middle.
Yeah, for crapping out in the middle of our show. But, Prick. Yeah, he'll be back next week. We'll all be here next week, and so will you, hopefully. Thank you again for listening, and have a wonderful night.
Bye. You know, Chris, what I'd really like is the mail.
Wait, you don't like the tacos?
The thing is, see, I can't carry the tacos and the mail. It's hard enough fitting the tacos. These bags weren't really designed for carrying tacos.
No, I love the tacos.
80% of our listeners right now are like, what? The hell
sorry,
are you
Dean.
Talking
sorry.
About?
And 20% of the staff.
Everyone, pause the podcast.
There's
go
four
out and
of
watch
us.
The state.
I cut myself in half just listening to that. I just didn't understand.
How are you only 20%?
I thought there was an extra one of us. I thought JP was on tonight.
Oh, God.
Well.
Anyway.
J-Ping counts for more than 5% when she's here.
I suppose in like total mass, you're probably like 20%.
Yeah. You need to hit the gym, bro.
Bro, I'm jacked. Fucking jacked. Anyone want to doubt that? Come at me, bro.